ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. In Chant Chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. Antavanta imi dehaha, antavanta imi dehaha, nityasyokta sharirinaha, nityasyokta sharirinaha, anashino prameyasya, anashino prameyasya, तस्माद्युद्यस्व भारत तस्माद्युद्यस्व भारत अन्तवन्त इमे देहाः नित्यस्योक्ता शरीरिणः अनाशिनो प्रमेयस्य तस्माद्युद्यस्व भारत यैनं वेति हन्तारम् यश्चैनं मन्यते हतम् यश्चैनं मन्यते हतम् उभौ तौ न विजानीतः उभौ तौ न विजानीतः नायं हन्ति न हन्यते नायं हन्ति न हन्यते य एनं वेति हन्तारम् यश्चैनं मन्यते हतम् उभौ तौ न विजानीतः नायं हन्ति न हन्यते न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचित् न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचित् नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयः नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयः अजो नित्यः शाश्वतोऽयं पुराणः अजो नित्यः शाश्वतोऽयं पुराणः न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचित् नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयः अजो नित्यः शाश्वतोऽयं पुराणः न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे वेदा विनाशिनं नित्यं वेदा विनाशिनं नित्यं य एनमजमव्ययम् य एनमजमव्ययम् कथं सपुरुषः पार्थ कथं सपुरुषः पार्थ कं घातयति हन्तिकम् कं घातयति हन्तिकम् वेदा विनाशिनं नित्यं य एनमजमव्ययम् कथं सपुरुषः पार्थ कं घातयति हन्तिकम् वासांसि जीर्णानि यथा विहाय वासांसि जीर्णानि यथा विहाय नवानि गृह्णाति नरोपराणि नवानि गृह्णाति नरोपराणि तथा शरीराणि विहाय जीर्णानि तथा शरीराणि विहाय जीर्णानि अन्यानि सयाति नवानि देहि अन्यानि सयाति नवानि देहि वासांसि जीर्णानि यथा विहाय नवानि गृह्णाति नरोपराणि तथा शरीराणि विहाय जीर्णानि अन्यानि सयाति नवानि देहि. From verse number 11, when Lord Krishna starts speaking, he is now trying to give us the differentiation, a difference between Atma and Anatma. Atma, Anatma, Viveka. So he says Atma, our real self, is Nityam, eternal, something which is always there, and Satyam, something which is real. We need to understand the difference between Sat and Asat. We were just talking about it. Sat means real. Asat in some places could be taken as unreal. But here what the Lord is trying to talk about by the term unreal is, or Asat is, something which has a relative existence but not an absolute existence. Reality is that which existed in the past, present and future, something which never ceases to be. Absolute existence and relative existence. Waking state, dream state, deep sleep state are the three states of consciousness that we go through. As long as I am a waker, the experiences of the waking world seems real to me and is real to me. When I move from waking state to dream state, all my experiences of the waking state is not available to me in the dream state. For the dreamer, he has his own world, and that world seems real and is real to him. And when he wakes up from dream and comes back to waking state, all those experiences of the dream world is unreal to him. So waking world is having a relative existence as long as you remain a waker. You cannot call it unreal, because when you are a waker it is there. You cannot call it real either, because when you become a dreamer it is not there. The same story holds good for the dream state also. When you are a dreamer, dream world is there, but when you wake up from dream, dream world is not there. So something which has a relative existence or a seeming existence is called as Asat or Mithya. So Atma is Satya, everything else is Mithya. When we say everything else, we mean this body, this mind, this intellect is Mithya. So Atma is Nityam, Atma is Satyam. And then he said Atma is avyayam, it is imperishable, it is something even beyond time, because time also is perishable. When you go to deep sleep, in deep sleep the concept of time is not there. Time also perishes, but Atma never perishes. It continues and it is all pervading. Atma is Sarvagata, it is all pervading. And then in 18 he said, these bodies of the embodied all come to an end. Anta vanta ime deha. All these bodies will come to an end. But Atma is eternal, indestructible, it is aprameya, immeasurable. It is not the object of knowing, it is the subject that knows. You see everything with the eyes, but you cannot see the very same eyes. Right? But you don't need any other
source to understand that you have eyes. Nobody has to come and tell you, but since you are not able to see eyes, are you sure that you have eyes? Of course, I'm sure. I don't have to see it to believe it. I know. So, it is not finite, it is infinite. Our equipments are finite. The body, mind, intellect are our equipments and they are finite. And with finite, you cannot measure infinity. Swami Vivekananda gives an interesting story. He says, there was a frog living in ocean, which once had fallen into a well. And there was another frog which was living in the well for many years. So the frog in the well, when it saw this new frog, "Hey, you look like me, where are you from?" So the frog from the ocean said, "Oh, I am from ocean." "Ocean? What is it?" "So that is also another water body like this well." "No, can you explain more? How big is your ocean compared to my well?" "Supposing if the frog from the ocean takes 25 rounds and then says it is bigger than this, still it is not communicating. There is no way of trying to explain the vastness of the ocean to the frog which has always been living in the well." Exactly like that, the finite equipments, with that equipments, how much ever we try to measure the infinity, you cannot. So therefore, Atma is immeasurable, unknowable. It is the knowing subject and not the known object. It is the very subject which knows everything. To explain this further, we usually give again same example of waking and dream. It is from that one waker's mind the entire dream has come about. The dreamer, the dreamer's friends, enemies, relatives, flora, fauna, everything in the dream has come from that waker's mind. Dreamer, how much ever he tries to understand the waker's mind, he cannot understand. He can only become the waker. So it is immeasurable, apraneya, it is not the object of comprehension, but it is the subjective apprehension. Something which I cannot know, does it mean it is not there? Because usually our understanding is, today I may not know something, but if something is there in the universe, tomorrow I might come to know about it. We didn't know about certain waves and all that. So the radio was not invented. Or the mobile phones were not invented. But today we know about those waves. So the mobile phones, radio and everything has come into being. So something which is unknown today can in future become known. Because if it is existing, tomorrow there is probably a possibility of coming to know about it. Therefore he says, it is not something that is unknown which you can know in future, it is unknowable. Unknowable in the sense, it is unknowable, so let us not waste time. No, it is unknowable in the sense, how much ever the dreamer may try to know the waker's mind, he cannot know it, he can become it. Right? So, in that sense, it is aprameya. So, earlier he said, it is everywhere, all pervading. Now he says it is within this body also. Sharirinaha. Something which is both immanent and transcendental. Something which is all pervading, which means which is within every being also. The same Atma is inside you, the very same Atma is inside me. Space cannot be segregated by the walls of the rooms. Though for our, in our common parlance, we may say room space, bedroom space, living room space, bathroom space, strictly speaking, space cannot be divided by the walls. Space is subtle, walls are gross. Atma is subtle, body is gross. It is not as though there is a separate Atma inside you and separate Atma inside me. When you had to refer yourself, you say I. When I had to refer myself, I also used the same word I. So question comes, can these two I's be different I's? Here he says, no. I is equal to I only. That is what he is trying to explain here. The Atma inside you, could it be different from the Atma inside me? A doubt might come. No, there is no difference. Body has a form. It has a beginning, it has an end. Right? Body has a form, it has a beginning, it has an end. Something which is all pervading, does it have a beginning and an end? The moment you say it is all pervading, it cannot be having a form. It has to be formless. If it is formless, no beginning, no end means infinite. So the Atma inside is infinite. Then the Atma inside you, another person, both are infinite. Can there be two different infinities? No. So the Atma inside you, the Atma inside another person is the very same Atma. So all the differences are only from the point of view of the body, mind, intellect. From the point of view of Atma, there is no difference. This is what Lord Hanumanji also told Lord Hanuman. Lord Hanumanji told Lord Ram. He said, Deha Bhave Dhasosmi, Jiva Bhave Tvadamshakaha, Atma Bhave Tvameva Aham. When I look at you from the point of view of the body, I am thy servant. I am your servant. When I look at you from the subtle body, the mind and intellect, I am part of you. When I look at you from the point of view of Atma, I am you. You are me. There is no difference. It is just the angle from where you view is different. If you are viewing from the periphery, there are differences. If you are viewing from the center, there are no differences. When there are no differences, when there is oneness, there is peace of mind. When there are differences, there is no peace of mind. When peace of mind is not there, then you are agitated. To that extent, you cannot think. To the extent you cannot think, to that extent you cannot act. To the extent your action is impoverished, to that extent you cannot get the success. When repeated failures happen, you start believing that you are a failure. As you think, so you become. You continue to remain a failure. You get caught in this vicious cycle. So he is talking about this angle, viewing from the center, so that a oneness is established. He continues, verse number 19. ఏనం వేతి హంతారం ఏనం వేతి హంతారం యశ్చైనం మన్యతే హతం యశ్చైనం మన్యతే హతం ఉభౌతౌ న విజానీతః ఉభౌతౌ న విజానీతః నాయం హంతి న హన్యతే నాయం హంతి న హన్యతే యేనం వేతి హంతారం యశ్చైనం మన్యతే హతం ఉభౌతౌ న విజానీతః నాయం హంతి న హన్యతే. He who regards this as slayer and he who thinks this is slain, both of them are ignorant. This neither slays nor is slain. He is quoting from Katha Upanishad, chapter 1, section 2:19. He is saying, he is using word this here. Enam and I am both means this. This means Atma. This refers to Atma. How do we understand this? We are at the moment sitting in this room in Delhi. So from here you say, that moon, this earth, that earth, this Asia, that Asia, this India, that India, this Delhi, that Delhi, this house, or this Prithviraj Road, that Prithviraj Road, this house, this house, this room, sorry, that house, this room, that room, this body, that body, this subtle body, that subtle body, this Atma. After you come to this point, this Atma, you can say that Atma, then there is nothing else, right? So that this Atma, the center, he who regards this Atma, this center, who thinks out of ignorance, he can only think like this out of ignorance, is this. That is, he thinks that he is the slayer and slain. How? He who thinks that he is a slayer means doer, or the one who reaps the result, the enjoyer, is an ignorant fellow. If he had knowledge, he will not think like this. Out of ignorance, one considers oneself to be the doer and enjoyer, Karta and Bhokta. So here he is saying Atma is Akarta Abhokta. Atma neither does anything nor does it reap any result. It is the doer who reaps the result. Atma is not doing anything. It is merely a witness. Without Atma, no action is possible. But Atma is not the doer. This is something we need to understand. So Swamiji gives this example of petrol in a car. No car can move without petrol. Right? But that performance of the car depends upon the engine, not the petrol. You take Mercedes S500, and your son takes Maruti 800 to the same fuel station. Both of you fill the tank and then start moving. The performance of S500 is different. Performance of Maruti 800 is different. Petrol has been filled from the same bunk. The performance depends upon the engine, the subtle body, the mind and intellect. Okay. And third point, you meet with an accident and end up in the hospital. Your son reaches home safely. Can you blame the petrol for meeting with an accident? Right? Yet, if you did not have petrol, if you ran out of petrol, you wouldn't have met with an accident. Atma, don't go about saying Atma is petrol. Atma is like petrol in a car. It is that which enlivens the equipments to act, remaining a witness. I'm scared to use this word, remaining inactive. Because I don't know how you will understand that. So consciously and cautiously using the word witness, remaining a witness, sakshi. In life, it is this bhav that is very important. In the first chapter, I pointed out to you, Arjuna had once in the beginning of the first chapter, shatru bhav. Then he had mitru bhav. But Krishna is saying, have sakshi bhav. Don't take sides. So, Atma is akarta, abhokta. If I had any intention or motive to do an action, then I will have the result to be reaped. When I have no intention to do or not to do, where is the question of reaping any result? So all this is Arjuna. Krishna is saying to Arjuna that it is all because of ignorance. You do not have the knowledge of Atma. If you have knowledge of Atma, you will not say, how can I kill Bhishma? Out of ignorance, you are looking at Bhishma only from the structure, the body. Therefore this problem. You are not looking from the center. You and me, Arjuna, we are seeing the same thing, but we are looking at the structure and looking at the center. That's all the difference. Since you are looking at the structure and you are identifying yourself also with the structure, you are viewing at the periphery from remaining at the periphery. And therefore, you are coming to this miscalculation, misunderstanding, which has cost you this grief and all that. So therefore you are saying, how can I kill them? They are worthy of worship. Because you are thinking that you can kill. When you say you can kill, you are identifying yourself also with the body. And you are identifying Bhishma also with the body. Drona also with the body. That is the problem. So Lord Krishna is indirectly telling Arjuna here, you are actually committing a sin now only. How? When you try to estimate something infinite as finite, isn't that a sin? To look at something or undervaluing something is sin. So your problem is problem of undervaluation. So much. to look at somebody as body is sin. To consider oneself as body is sin. And that sin is coming because of ignorance. Out of ignorance, everybody is committing sin. Nobody will commit sin with knowledge. With your eyes open, you will not fall into a pit. With your eyes open, you may get down into a pit, but you will not fall into a pit. With your eyes closed, you will fall into a pit. So Krishna in short is saying the problem is ignorance. This neither slays nor is slain. This knowledge is not there in you, Arjuna. Therefore you are thinking Atma as Karta. If Atma is Karta, then it is Bhakta also. So gain that knowledge. Atma is neither Karta nor Bhokta. It is Akarta Abhokta. So he so far said Atma is Nityam, Atma is Satyam, Atma is Sarvagata, all pervading, Atma is Apraneya, immeasurable, unknowable, it's not an object of knowing. Now he said Atma is Akarta Abhokta. These are not to be taken as definitions of Atma, because definitions are always done by the intellect. Right? How can a finite infinite define infinite Atma? These are only pointers, not definitions. These are only pointers. By reflecting over and over again on these pointers, you are denying yourself the opportunity to think yourself to be limited. As you think, so you become. By constantly identifying with the body, mind, intellect out of ignorance, I am constantly thinking myself to be limited. Therefore, I continue to remain limited. So, to stop you from thinking that you are limited, these pointers are given. When you go on reflecting on those pointers, you stop thinking yourself to be limited. Slowly, slowly, the witnessing happens in you. That's the idea. He continues. न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचित् न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचित् नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयः नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयः अजो नित्यशाश्वतोऽयं पुराणः अजो नित्यशाश्वतोऽयं पुराणः नहन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे नहन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचित् नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयः अजो नित्यशाश्वतोऽयं पुराणः नहन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे. This is not born, nor does it die. Nor having been will ever again cease to be in future. This is unborn, ajaha, eternal, nityaha, changeless, Shashvataha, ancient Puranaha, it is not killed when the body is killed. A question might come when he said in previous verse, this is not slain, nor does it slay. The question might come, don't you see people dying? In fact, in many ways, death is what has preoccupied us. Many of our efforts, or most of our efforts, are only in trying to postpone death. Somehow we want to try and find ways and means of not dying. Try and save so much by hook or crook, in whatever method, so that at least that money will come handy in keeping us in the ICU with all those oxygen cylinders and everything forever. But then this body will have to end. Whatever way you try, you cannot make this body eternal. Atma is eternal, but not the body. So he says, this is not born. Means this is not born when the body is born. This is not coming to an end when the body comes to an end. That is what the first sentence means. This is not born, this does not die means, when you see the body coming into existence, don't think that Atma has come into existence only now. Atma has been existing before the body. Atma is existing during the body. Atma continues to exist after the body. Take the example of sound and silence. Sound is one, not the silence. Silence is there before sound, silence is there during sound, silence will continue to be there after sound. Sound has birth and death, but not silence. It is not something that is born, nor does it die, nor having been will ever cease to be again. We only know the two notes called birth and death, but Atma is beyond birth and death. It is unborn. Ajaha. Unborn does not mean it does not exist. It exists. We only associate existence to birth. That real existence is beyond birth. It is ajaha. Unborn. Unborn should not be misunderstood as something that doesn't exist. Therefore, he says Nityaha, eternal. Existing perennially without coming into birth and going into death. And that is Atma. And one more thing he adds here. What? Changeless. Nirvikara. Something that doesn't undergo change. So you say, something that has not born, something that doesn't die, but something which never ceases to be, which is always there, how do I understand that? A question comes. Last week also, how do we understand this? Any number of times you say, don't try to understand, you will still say, how do I understand it? So Lord Krishna is cooperating and giving you one more pointer. He says it is something that is to be understood as changeless. You are able to recognize the changes happening. Science tells us that change is not possible to be recognized without a changeless reference. right? Without a changeless reference, and that changeless reference point is Atma. Because anything that you see in this world is a changing thing. The body is changing, the mind is changing. To yesterday you could have been saying, I love that person. Today you say, he is my worst enemy. Mind has changed. Yesterday you said, I hate that fellow. Today you say, I love that fellow. Like in the poem Saurabh and Rustum, Matthew Arnold brings a beautiful story between father and son. They didn't know that they are father and son. So they are fighting. Rustum hates Saurabh, the son. Rustum is the father and Saurabh is the son. So Rustum hates. He didn't know that it is his son. He kills him. When he comes to know that it is his own son, the hatred has turned into love. Mind changes. Intellect changes. You could have been a capitalist, now you could be a communist, or the other way around. A socialist or a Vedanta. The mind could change. Intellect could change. Body changes. Everything changes. But something that remains without changing. You say, I am short. And you grow. Say, I am tall. The body has changed. I hate you. I love you. The mind has changed. I am an atheist. I am a believer of God. Intellect has changed. So much. But the I continues to be same without changing. And that changeless, which doesn't undergo any vikaras, the birth, growth, disease, decay and death, all these vikaras are not for the Atma. It is only for the body, mind and intellect. The body thoughts, they go through changes. But Atma doesn't go through changes. So how do you read this sentence? When you read this sentence, you should say, the changes are only for the body, mind and intellect and not to me. But today the problem is, anybody looks at you, they say, oh, you've put on weight. Oh, you've lost weight. Oh, you seem to be dull. Oh, you seem to be cheerful. You are a brilliant fellow. You are an idiot. That's how everybody speaks with each other, right? When they are saying, they may make a mistake, saying that you are weak, you are strong, you are dull, you are intelligent, all that. But you must understand that they are referring to my body, my mind, my intellect. They know not that I am not the body, mind, intellect, but I am Atma. So when you read these verses, how do you repeat it within yourself? Body changes, mind changes, intellect changes. Don't say Atma doesn't change. Say, I do not change. Strictly speaking, Atma is I. But when we say Atma, the problem is, we think we possess Atma. We don't think that we are Atma. Our understanding today is such that we have a soul. We don't understand that we have a body, mind, intellect. We are the soul. This is the change that he is trying to bring in Arjuna. He is trying to bring in us through Arjuna, rather. In other words, today we say, I am the body, mind, intellect having a soul. if at all. We should understand that I am the soul having the body mind intellect. The other way around. This is unborn, this is eternal, this is changeless, shashvata. While all the changes happen, this remains changeless. The changes are happening at the surface, there is no change happening at the substratum. I am that substratum. And this is ancient, Purana. It is something that has always been existing, and it will something that will never come to an end. And since it is changeless, something which is existing always, which has not come into birth and goes through death, it cannot be killed when the body is killed. So he is trying to make the subtle change in our understanding that I am different from my body. Body is different from me. I possess the body. I say my body. When I say my body, I am the possessor. Body is the possessed. I exist even beyond the body. I exist beyond the body. It is subtle, not gross. So when the gross has come into manifestation and goes into unmanifestation, the subtle has not lost itself. It is still remaining there. It is not killed when the body is killed. Remember this. He is trying to point three things here. Container, content and consciousness. The three C's you must remember. This entire portion from 11 till 25, or rather till 38, 39, is only talking this. Container, content, consciousness. Container is the body. Content is the mind and intellect, subtle body. Okay. And consciousness is the real self. Container, when it is destroyed, content is not lost. Are you with me? Even if you find content getting lost, consciousness never gets lost. Container is destroyed. Content has been emptied into another container. Container is destroyed. Content is emptied into another container. What happened to this container? It gets decayed and recycled. Comes in some other form. You go to the content, the mind and intellect, the subtle body. What happens to that? That goes to another body. So what is the loss? No loss. Right? When all the desires are exhausted, the content is lost. What remains is consciousness. For example, every day, every night when you go to sleep, content, the subtle body, goes to unmanifestation. But the consciousness remains in the sleep also. That is why when you come out of the sleep, you say, I experienced nothing in my deep sleep. Who is this I that experienced nothingness? Consciousness. Are you with me? Container gets recycled. Content goes from one body to another. And even when content goes to unmanifestation, Or since the desires are all exhausted and thereby the content is also exhausted, what remains is consciousness, and that you are. So from any which angle you see, there is no loss. So therefore the wise people do not grieve. Wise people have the knowledge that nothing is lost, nothing is gained. Therefore they do not grieve. Since you are ignorant, you are sitting and grieving. This is what Lord Krishna is explaining. So it is not killed when the body is killed. Here is saying content moves along with the consciousness. Where is the problem? There is no problem, Arjuna. Continues.
Veda vinashinam nityam, Veda vinashinam nityam, yaena majamavyayam, yaena majamavyayam, katam sapurushaparta, katam sapurushaparta, kam ghatayati hantikam, kam ghatayati hantikam, Veda vinashinam nityam, yaena majamavyayam, katam sapurushaparta, kam ghatayati hantikam.
He who knows, Veda, Veda here means knows. What does he know? He who knows this to be indestructible. I have been telling now it is indestructible. But if you know that it is indestructible, here knows should not be taken as intellectual knowing. Today you have been informed that Atma, you essentially are indestructible. Doesn't mean that now you know that you are indestructible. You have only been informed. You have only heard that Atma is indestructible. You do not know that Atma is indestructible. But when you come to know that Atma is indestructible, which means you are self-realized. So he who knows this to be indestructible, avinashi, this to be nityam, eternal, this to be undborn, ajam, this to be immutable, avyaya, remaining a changeless factor in and through all the changes. How can that man, how can that Purusha, O Partha, slay anyone or cause anyone to be slain? You can only slay or cause to be slaying anybody out of ignorance. If you really know, if you really know that Atma is indestructible, would you even, it's like this, you need to, this can only be explained with an example. You are in the dream state. From waking, you have moved into dream state, let us say. And in the dream, you are the governor of an university, means vice chancellor of an university. And you are distributing the degree certificates to all the graduates. Okay, you are distributing the degree certificates to all the graduates, one by one. Your brother's son is also one of them in the dream. Okay, as you are distributing the last fellow, the degree certificate to be distributed was your brother's son. Just before distributing the degree certificate to your brother's son in the dream, you woke up. Sanaj, you have woken up from the dream. That means what? You understand that all that was happening, the degree certificate distribution, all that was in the dream. It has no pith or substance. Now that you have woken up, Would you say, "Arey, that last fellow who happens to be my brother's son, only that fellow I have not distributed, so let me get into the dream and distribute and come back"? Will you say such things? If you say, you know where you belong. You know? I hope none of us will are in that category here. Either you know or you do not know. Either you have woken up or you are still in dream. There is no in between. That's what he is trying to say here in this verse. If you know, you remain a witness. If you do not know, you become a doer. Please understand what this verse is trying to say. Veda vinashinam nityam. Veda, the word Veda is very important here. Veda means knowing. I told you, knowing is not being informed. Knowing is wisdom. When you know you have climbed the mountain and reached the cliff, you will not take one more step. If you are taking one more step, then you do not know. Either you have reached the cliff or you probably still not reached the cliff, therefore you are taking one more step. Wisdom and action go together. So if you know it is indestructible, it is unborn, immutable, and all that I have been talking, Arjuna, from 11 to 20, 10 verses. So much of my time I have spent. That's what he is saying. Krishna is saying, I am not saying. So much of my time I have spent. If you know, then you remain a witness. How can that man, how can that man perform action, in this case action of killing, or initiate somebody to perform action? See, sometimes we don't do the action. We'll have a question, but we dare not ask. So what do? We instigate other fellows to ask the question. You ask. So he says, he neither does action, nor does he initiate any action. Like cutting the ribbon. I did not start this company. I was invited to be the chief guest for the inauguration of the organization. I went and cut the ribbon. Nothing. I remain a witness. If I know, I become a witness. If I do not know, I remain a doer. And the doer will have to reap the results. Punya, papa, and all that. The doer will be bound, not the knower. So he is trying to differentiate between the knower and the doer. A knower will not do, nor will he cause anyone to do, simply because he knows that it cannot be slain. When you know that you have reached the dead end of a road, would you somehow try to go through the wall? You say, "I've reached the dead end, and let me take a U-turn and go back." So, either you have woken up or you have not woken up. So, what is Krishna saying here? There is one category of people who have woken up. The other category of people who have not woken up, they are doers, they are sleepwalkers. Are you with me? They are sleepwalkers. Sleepwalking fellow is walking, but he is very much asleep. All of us are doing things without knowing our essential Atma. We are all sleepwalkers. For a sleepwalker, there is punya, pap and everything. For a person who is woken up, keeps his eye open and walks, he is walking as a witness. For him, there is no punya, pap and nothing. It's not kab pahunchte, it is the question of
identification for the physical
symbol. That's why they say, if you study these things once a week and rest of the time you are identifying with people who identify with body, mind, intellect.
Thought process changes.
So your thought process will continue to be like that of those people who identify with body, mind, intellect as themselves. So that is why Adi Shankara in Bhajago Yudham says, Satsangatve Nissangatvam. Sangha means attachment. Nissanga means detachment. How does the detachment come? Satsanga. Satsangatve Nissangatvam. Through good company. Good company means what?
Satsanga.
Not somebody who takes bath every day. Well, that is also good company from a different angle. But here good company means somebody who identifies with
soul,
not with body, mind, or at least somebody who strives to identify with Atma, not with body, mind. And that effort you need to put in. Otherwise, like water sprinkled on a hot plate, just evaporates. All this Atma, Jnanam and everything just flies. Later on you say, yeah, correct, I was also there when you did second chapter. Yeah, oh, fantastic sessions we used to have, na? What is it there for breakfast now? Right? So therefore they say, it is not just studying,
living it.
It is putting in effort to be in it 24/7. So some people say, sir, is it not like brainwashing? Yes. If you ask me, I would boldly say yes. But understand one thing. When you say brainwashing, it presupposes that there is dirt in your brain. It is not brain coloring. Your brain is already colored. Jo condition ho gaya, usko decondition karna. So what is Vedanta? What is this whole Bhagavad Gita and everything? Deconditioning sessions. A lot of people say, oh, don't go to these guys, they will brainwash you. So if people ask me, sir, do you think all these are brainwashing sessions? I say yes. Because brainwashing presupposes that the brain is already colored. Oh, color nikalna padega. So somebody who has already been conditioned is only being deconditioned. From the time you are born, everybody says, directly, indirectly, they are saying, body, you are the body, you are the mind, it's like that. You put on weight, you've lost weight, are you going too much in sun? You've become dark.
The heart is stressed. Apart from body, behavior pattern,
everything.
Karam is stressed.
So this constant reminder from outside and inside, but you are this body. Therefore, anything happens to the body happens to you. So you are already conditioned, colored. But coloring has to be removed. And that is what is happening here. In fact, you need to remove that coloring. He only tells you that you are colored. If you want to remove the color, you remove it. You want to continue being colored, continue. Being colored has its own repercussions. If you remain colored, you will have to go through those repercussions. You want to avoid those repercussions, go beyond those repercussions, then remove the coloring. The choice is yours. And the coloring has been happening for so many jammas. Don't expect the deconditioning, decoloring to be happening overnight. Just now we have come to 21st verse, sir. When are you going to finish 18th chapter? A question might come. In the sense, kitna, how many years? Am I going to be decoloring? You never asked this question when you were coloring it. Blissfully unaware of you were coloring. Blissfully unaware you were smoking. So much of dirt was being inhaled all your life. Suddenly overnight you want to remove all the congestion. Right? So don't be result oriented, but be consistent in your effort. So he says, he who knows this means Atma, to be indestructible. He who knows that I am indestructible, I am eternal, I am unborn, I am immutable. How can that person one who has come to the center, how can he thereafter start identifying with the periphery? That's the question. Once you have woken up from the dream, how can that fellow again identify from the dream point of view? You could have been living out of ignorance, you were investing in a particular company in the share market. Now you gained some information about that organization. You consulted somebody and they gave you the information. Would you continue to invest in the same company? There is nonsense is going on. Let me come out of it. Maybe loss, no problem. Let me come out of that company. Whatever money is left out, let me reinvest in some company with knowledge. I can't continue remain in my ignorant state. Even if we get a doubt, you will slowly move to knowledge. So he who knows Veda, he who knows this to be all this that we discussed, how can that person, either directly or indirectly, do anything? And since he directly or indirectly doesn't do anything, there is no question of affectation from those actions. Petrol doesn't get affected when the car is damaged. Swami Ramatita gives this beautiful story. He says, a guy threw a huge party. He called all his friends. His friends knew that he had recently bought the best car. So probably they thought he is celebrating for that. Nobody questioned, nobody bothers. As long as they call for the party, just go have, you know, fun. That's all. Why do you have to bother? What is the reason for which he is celebrating? So they all participated. One fellow asked, "Are, what is the reason you are throwing this party tonight?" He said, "You know, I recently bought that car, the most expensive one. Yeah, fantastic car. This morning I was traveling in the car. The car met with an accident. The car is completely crushed. What? Went in the car, most expensive one, and the car got completely crushed and smashed, whole thing. Insurance is only going to give me 50%, and as it is, it's a very expensive car, so you're going to spend more to retain it, or you have to buy the new one. Are you celebrating it? What nonsense is this? He said, remember, I was seated in the car and I escaped without even a small scratch on my body. Isn't that an occasion to celebrate? So we are traveling in this body. We are not this body. But the problem is, we have today identified ourselves with the body. Therefore, anything that happens to the body happens to us. So he's saying here, either you know or you don't know. There is no in between. Just because I have spoken to you for the last 10 verses doesn't mean you know it already. You are only being informed. Now you must put in the effort to convert that information into a transformation. That is the emphasis here. The emphasis is in knowing, not in being informed. The danger is, a lot of people take being informed as knowing. Better than them is somebody who says, I don't know. Because he is not informed. So he will say, I want to know. Some sort of effort is there in him. The fellow who takes being informed itself as knowledge, he is neither here nor there. He is dangerous fellow. He suddenly thinks, I know. So it's not intellectual knowing, it is becoming. O Arjuna, that man, how can that man slay, O Partha, anyone, or cause anyone to be slain? So if you really understand, Arjuna, you will not even discuss about the death of Bhishma or your death. In fact, from childhood days, since you are born, let us say you have never seen any death. If you imagine such a scenario, but from childhood days you never saw any death, came across any death, would you be having any idea about death? You see somebody dying and being cremated, from that you infer that I might also die one day. You are not experience death in this Janma. So then how do you know? So deep inside, every death is kind of reminding us of our death. So we in a way preoccupied, you know. So he says, you are beyond death. You have no beginning, no end. You are that Atma. This next verse, 22, is an off-quoted verse. So having explained this much here, he says he neither directly nor indirectly acts. Since he is not a doer, he is not affected by the results. All that he explained, in 22 he is going to talk about how he will move from one body to another. How that whole thing happens? So the transmigration of soul, as it were, is discussed in verse number 22, which we will see next week. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.